This is Wicked Roadie, a wicked good podcast about Rhode Island events and life. Hey everybody, how's it going? My name's Mary Larson.
And I'm Ben DeCastro. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us on the podcast that has been multiple years the winner of Best of Rhode Island by the readers of Rhode Island Monthly. And, you know, throughout this whole COVID, coronavirus, COVID-19 stuff, we've backed off a bit because obviously this is a podcast that primarily depends on events things going on, which thanks to the Rona all came to a screeching halt back in May. We've done a few episodes since, and I think we're getting to the point, Mary, where things are starting to happen again.
Yes.
More and more. We talked about this about a month ago, but the overall, we're seeing more activity out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think triggered a lot in the beginning was professional sports. There's a audio clip out there of a basketball game where the PA announcer comes over and says, due to unforeseen circumstances. I mean, this is like
yes.
minutes from tip off. You know, they cancel the game, and that seemed to be the tipping of the first domino where everything just started in sequence, you know, changing. So that's kind of been, that's when everything stopped, but now we're seeing obviously baseball, soccer, basketball down in the bubble, which that has been its drama all in of itself. Have you heard what's going on down there?
I have just watched a few of the players who have shared things on social media, like about their food, or I saw one who like didn't have a blanket, and when he finally got a blanket, it was more of a blankie. Like it wasn't going to fit him at all. I haven't seen anything since then, though.
They're all like 7 feet tall, so
yeah.
a normal blanket, well, you and Blake are also almost 7 feet tall, so... But they have been living down in Orlando at one of the Disney properties. They call it the bubble. And there have just been so many funny storylines that have come out of that, whether it be, you know, guys trying to get female companionship. It's weird because Disney or whoever it is that's actually putting on advertised this all-out dance party for all the players. It's
nice.
Like, that's that's awesome. What a bunch of, you know, 19 to 30-year-old dudes want to do is go to a dance party with only 19 to 30-year-old dudes. And they tricked this one guy into showing up, and he's like, yeah, and he's the only one. It looks sad. He walks in, they've got, you know, they're handing him a drink, and the music's cranking, and there's lights and all this other stuff. But he's the only one, and he's just there. He just started living it up on Instagram Live, which was pretty funny.
Goes to show you how different it would be, because if you invited a bunch of 19 to 30-year-old women,
you
would have had a blast.
You have no problem making something spectacular happen there. Meanwhile, it's funny the way they like advertised it to these guys, and you know, like, oh, don't worry, when you're not playing or practicing, we got fun stuff for you to do. We have ping pong.
Oh.
We have pool. We have bumper pool. We have cornhole.
Like summer camp. They need like GIMP art classes and friendship bracelet making. Slime station.
They should rename their dorms like some animal name, or they're not dorm, but the hotel they're at. Okay, this is the animal name we're going with there. But it's been interesting to see how they are handling that. Of course, baseball.
Do you think they're doing pranks?
Did the sun rise today? I mean, yes, of course.
You know, like when you think of camp, you know, you do pranks on kids from other cabins and things. That's what I want to see. I want to see these professional players like TP each other's rooms or do something bogus like that.
They don't need this situation. There are players who literally call up in the middle of the night and order insane amounts of food and have it delivered to somebody's room where they know they're sleeping.
Yes.
Like a 7-course meal and just deliver it to this guy.
Perfect.
And it's so that kind of stuff I'm sure is happening. But it's also in the baseball world, Mm-hmm. Fenway Park has come to life, as have many, many ballparks all across the country, including McCoy Stadium in Pawtucket with the what they call the taxi squad, which is the kind of the reserve players for the Boston Red Sox as they get ready to go in.
Nice.
We're looking at hockey's going to be starting up. So by all accounts, there's some serious normalcy happening there. And then last night, I was driving to do a few errands, and the baseball field, one of the baseball Little League fields in Warren, mm-hmm. there was a game going on, and I was kind of surprised. I knew it was going to be happening,
yep.
but those are popping up. So it's these little things of normalcy that seem to, you know, just give me a little bit of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just it's another step, and
You dip your toes in.
Yeah.
You see what works and how to do it differently. I agree. I've been seeing it over in our neck of woods on the West Bay as well. Some of the Little League fields filled up. And by filled up, I mean there's people on them.
Sure.
They're not dormant like they have been for weeks past. So it is. It's when you think of summer, you picture those ball fields with kids on them. And it is nice to see.
We went to an event a couple weeks ago over near your area, Mulligan's Island. We had a very short window. They had a food truck night there, and we went and we literally duck in, duck out, because as we were getting the food, the storm came. And all right, well, this was fun. I'm gonna have eat my half.
Oh, you
soggy.
Were here for that epic storm, the one that shook the shook
not
the
that one.
Oh, okay.
It was leading up to, but the yeah, it was a quick, like I said, a quick duck in, duck out, and it was cool. It was nice. It was fun. But, you know, it was, again, just these little things here and there
mm-hmm.
that have helped to make it feel normal. But, you know, we've started seeing where areas of crowding.
Yes.
Where it needed to be dialed back a bit. Last week, the governor announced that they would be backing off the parking situation in two of the state beaches to 25%. Not by 25%. To 25%. And that caused all sorts of commotion, although they say it was a lot better on the beach as far as crowd wise.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that progresses, but it has led to, between that and just some other restaurants and other ice cream shops, grown ups behaving badly.
Yes.
What the actual heck?
Seriously.
We have grown men arguing over the fact that they can't eat ice cream on a patio at a Brickley's location. Are you kidding me?
Get over yourself, buddy. Yeah, my mom got into an argument with someone at Cumberland Farms in line just to get a nice coffee. And, you know, she had to ask the gentleman in front of her, like, can you please put on your mask? It was in his pocket. It was in his pocket and he wouldn't put it on.
I can't take that.
No. Nope.
Here's the deal. I'm guilty of walking in and forgetting to put it on right away. And as soon as I realize that I put it on, I realize that there is, despite whatever your personal beliefs are, the fact is that there are a lot of people out there who want to see it because it brings them a little bit of comfort. And if that helps to create this atmosphere of normalcy until we have the vaccine or the cure or whatever, then okay, I'll be the team player and participate. But I've done it a few times where I accidentally, you know, forget to just loop it on.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've done this. I've walked in, and I actually walked into the bank once with a mask. I typically wear a ball cap and my sunglasses, and I'm like, oh, crap. I got to take my sunglasses and ball cap off so at least I could see the top half of my head.
You're the invisible man.
Exactly. I felt bad because I felt like I was... It's been against everything that we normally are used to with the by wearing a mask, especially into, you know, financial setting. Mm-hmm. But usually I walk into the bank, I take my sunglasses off because they want to see your eyes. And okay, that's fine. I understand for identification purposes, make everybody feel safe. But I've also been training myself not to touch my face, not to touch up there as often. So, but the whole thing of the grown-ups behaving badly and just giving this past weekend, there was a report down at one of the beaches where this couple threw their setup in front of a lifeguard chair. And I thought it was common knowledge.
You got to leave up, that area.
Yeah, you can't set up directly in front of the lifeguard chair heading towards the water because the lifeguard needs a clear path to run.
Yes.
And you being there is obstruction. So, but there was a couple there who started getting into it with the lifeguard, and then the beach manager, and then they had to call the police. They ended up getting arrested assaulted the police officer.
Oh my gosh. Plopping down in front of the lifeguard. Who's there to save their lives?
Oh yeah. The police report, you know, had the full narrative of what one of the people were saying, you know, oh, my girl just wants to catch a quick tan out here. You guys are being ridiculous. Meanwhile, we've had some pretty significant swells and some pretty serious rip currents. Lifeguards at these beaches have had to work for their paycheck, for sure.
Yep.
And dealing with everybody. So it's just like, at some point, you got to just wonder what happened to this person in their life that they are so oblivious to the way things are right now that you have to act like a jerk.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
And I'm keeping this, you know, very non-Blake.
Careful.
Yes. I'm choosing my words very wisely here because it blows my mind. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's not that you're going to cause a health risk for everybody. You're just causing stress for everybody. Get over yourself.
Agreed. And we don't need any more stress right now. We do not.
How has it been for Blake with his restaurants? Because he you know, runs a couple Dunkin's. I mean, that's typically a quick in, quick out, and obviously a lot of drive-through stuff. Has he had to break up any fights or anything? Or
He's definitely had to ask people? Luckily, nothing of that severity. But, you know, generally the people who work behind counters, whether it's the ice cream counters or your coffee shop counters, they're usually younger people. Yeah. And luckily, my husband Blake, he's 6'4" and just a very dominating physical presence. So when someone comes into one of their stores not wearing a mask, of course the person behind the counter will say, excuse me, can you please put your mask on or else we can't serve you.
Right.
And he's had to, you know, when the people say no because maybe the person serving them is like 16,
yeah,
he has to come on in,
yeah,
you know, use his influence and just say, excuse me, you need to get out of here. Like, that's it. You're leaving. And usually they listen to him. But of course, that is because he's, you know, a tall individual.
A tall, strong individual from Revere. From Revere, kid. Do you even know the Red Sox kid? You don't. You don't. You're dumb.
I love it. So he can throw some of that
horrible,
in, exactly.
Horrible.
And he
should I should get a penalty flag for poor impersonation.
No, you're fine. Oh, my God. But it's, you know, it is. It's just, it's a whole new world right now. And it's just coming off incredibly selfish. So right there with you. If you're listening and you don't wear a mask, please just put it on.
just come on. Just help us because we're all trying to get through this. And this, of course, we're dead in the middle of summer here. Probably not the best term to use. You know, we're right in the middle of summer
There
you go. All right. Everybody's happy. Right in the middle of summer. And this would be the time of year where you'd start seeing the heavy rotation of ads for back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when you would go get your Trapper Keepers, your paper, a package of pencils. Perhaps a protractor, glue sticks, just some of the things out there. You had this giant list of stuff to bring on the first day of school, and what did you use? None of it.
Really?
The first day, you're like, okay, here's where this class is, this is the rules. Then the rest of the week, it's like we're going to party with all the other classes. Everybody's going to get to know each other.
Not anymore, my friend.
No, because apparently that's all changed. But there are a lot of questionable variables, variables going into this. What is the Larson plan at this point? Because a lot of people are up in the air.
Yes. So right now, the Larson plan is that the kiddos and I are going to be staying home.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know, I help run our media company from home. So I've been working from home for the past several years. Prior to this, I was a teacher. And, it's something that Blake and my husband and I have talked about a great deal. Our school system is hoping to do a hybrid, like 2 days in person and 3 days at home. But we're very close with my mom, and sure, she's high risk. So it really kind of came down to, do I want my mom to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas alone, pretty much the entire fall/winter alone?
Yeah.
And I also... I don't know how long this hybrid learning is going to take place versus when it's just going to flip over to distance learning. And I know the teachers and the administration have worked their tails off. I mean, no one would have ever, at least I don't fault them, but it just didn't work for us last spring. So we're thinking we're just going to, from the get-go, keep the kiddos home and teach them here, and then reevaluate by Christmas. Because I feel like by Christmas, we're either going to know if things have worked out well, if things have just gotten worse, if some magical cure has come into play. But on the flip side, too, because I can, I know it's a huge advantage that I have that I can be home with my kids and do this. But that also means there's two less children on the bus. There's two less children in the classroom that they have to socially distance. Two less kids they have to worry about in the rotation. So it kind of just all came down to that, and it is not something I ever dreamed of being. I never thought that I'd be like the homeschooling mom.
Right.
But on the flip side, I'm fortunate my kids are young, and while we get to see my mom, she's also offered to help me teach every once in a while,
great,
so I can get a break, because I haven't had a break since March 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah. Well, the reality is, and this is what people don't understand, and far be it from me to be the expert on education, Mr. 7th grade twice and then got a job. I do know enough that what happened last year with distance learning, that is not homeschooling.
Correct.
It may have felt like homeschooling, and I'm not trying to discount the people who out there put their heart and soul into it and sacrifice, made it work. I give you all the respect in the world. But that was simply taking corporate learning and doing it via computer, which is hard.
Agreed.
If you're going to commit to homeschooling, then you should really look into a homeschooling curriculum that will allow you to deal with multiple age levels if need be.
Correct.
And kind of keep them both on the same track and give somebody a little bit more advanced. And plus, you can gauge it. Not only that, I know people who are expecting a child later in this year, so they're doing the homeschooling. They're starting it now, so they can take time off when that happens, because again, there's no guarantee they won't be able to send the child to school because of the medical situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where you may be able to stretch it out a little further. It's not that hard to do as far as, getting it set up and getting a school district on board. But it is one of those things where right now, in your situation, I think it's great. I think that's a good idea.
If anyone else is listening who's interested in learning more, there's a great resource that I've come across called EnrichRI.
Okay.
And it's just a website and an online community. I think you pay like $30 for the entire year. When there hasn't been a pandemic, they've had a lot of, playgroups and stuff for kids who want to be homeschooled. But what I love about them is they have a wealth of knowledge district by district about what's needed, the types of letters that you need to use. And like you said, Ben, like there's different curriculums. So if you don't want to necessarily do the distance learning that is set forth from your district, there's a plethora of options out there for you. So yeah, that's where we're leaning right now. It's tough. It's my daughter's first year. She's entering kindergarten, and it breaks my little heart that she won't be able to have the normal kindergarten experience. But I think, as all school-aged parents right now, our hearts are all broken for them for a little bit. So we're going to make some lemonade out of these lemons right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, everybody's situation is different. I just hope, and, a few weeks ago I was on Cat Country for the week. I was covering some vacations, and the whole mom-shaming thing came up, the topic there. Somebody had posted up a photo of them and their child on a float in like a foot of water, and people went crazy saying, you can't do that. What are you doing? Are you nuts? It's like they were posing for a photo. Calm down. It was quick. There were people all around. The child wasn't in any danger. It was just, you know, but they people just see it and just start mom shaming. And you can't do that.
No.
That's just not something you should be doing, especially if it's somebody like yourself, Mary, who's, you know, taking this on in this way. It takes a lot of courage. I'm sure it's a lot of stress on you and Blake and your mother. You know, the kids will adapt and overcome, but it weighs heavily, I'm sure, with everything there. So good on you guys. And I think that Enrich RI group that you mentioned there, that it would certainly be, sounds like a really good thing.
It's a great resource.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, really, it's cheap insurance for great advice. You know,
exactly.
I mean, if you think about it. So, hey, listen, if you tuned in while you're on the road, you're working, getting some errands done, listen and enjoy the episode. You know, we always try to bring you things that pique your interest, and if we do talk about things that have a link or additional information, always you can find that on our website, wickedroadiepodcast.com.
So we just wanted to offer a few resources for you all if you are trying to get out of the house. Maybe you're getting a little stir crazy, and just kind of chat a little bit. You know, as Ben said, some of the beaches, the numbers that are allowed to go in, whether it's beaches or state parks, have been brought down a little bit. So I just want to make sure you all knew about this app. It's called All Trails. Have you seen this app, Ben?
I have not.
Oh my gosh, it is one of my favorites. It has pretty much all of the different parks in our state listed, and it's pretty much Yelp for hiking. It's going to be rated. It's going to let you know if it's dog friendly, stroller friendly, how long it is, if you're going to be walking by water. People update it all the time, you know, after last night's rain, like, it's really muddy in this area, so you might want to skip this park today. The trails are actually shown on the map. So if it is one of those hiking places where there's various routes, maybe it breaks off at a fork, you'll be able to find your way back pretty easily. So huge fan of that app, All Trails. My kids, what I tell them to do is I let them pick. I kind of show them the map, and they get to pick which one they get to do. So still getting outdoors, of course, but, you know, staying away from the beach if the beaches, sadly, are too busy.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, because you're talking about these trails and everything. Is it through this app, or would you need to use a separate app for some geocaching?
You would need to use a separate app for geocaching.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's something you've done. You've actually done a segment on it back in the day. And
yeah.
It's something that, again, people are finding it to be popular.
Yes.
A couple months ago, you could have hidden toilet paper in various places for geocaching. But
people would have been delighted.
That sounds like something really fun, and you can divide up. I mean, you still have, you know, 6-8 weeks of solid summer left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you do 2 weeks in the northern part of the state, 2 weeks in the east, 2 weeks south, 2 weeks west, to find different trails out there. Let me ask you this, Mary. If you had to, you and Blake, for some reason, have found yourself with a couple hours, you say, hey, you know what, let's go for a ride. Whether it's on the motorcycle or it's on, you know, just in the car, you're just going to go take a drive. Where are you going to go?
Oh, gosh. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to go somewhere where there aren't that many stoplights.
Okay.
I love driving around Little Compton.
I love 295. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well done. No,
thank
I just,
you.
I think little, you know, for those of you who don't live in the Little Compton area, it's just really different than the rest of our state. It's very peaceful. You've got the farmlands. It still, of course, is by the water. There's the cute little farm stands. You know, if you wanted to get some fresh produce or get a little sandwich or something on the road. So that's definitely one of my favorite areas that I like to drive around. There's even some great websites where people have just written out, you know, their favorite rides to go through our state, you know, that once again don't have a lot of busy roads, don't have a lot of stoplights, so you can just kind of cruise. And if you have little ones in the car and they take a nap and you just want to keep going, or if you want to see the state but you don't necessarily want to be, you know, going to restaurants right now or anything like that, you can still go and see different areas of Rhode Island, because I'm telling you, Rhode Island's looking pretty nice right now. It's a pretty looking state. So I like our state all seasons, but right now it's looking pretty nice.
No, it really is. And for me, I love going down to like the Newport area, the Brenton Point.
Yes.
That's a beautiful drive. You can continue that right on through. And if you go after you do like 10-mile drive, if you come down by First Beach, and instead of taking a left and going towards back towards Middletown to, you know, up by the to get onto East Main Road there, if you stay to the right and, you know, Johnny's ABC is right there and go down towards Second Beach, all those roads kind of wind around and you could do some nice just some, you know, just looking out, and it's a nice ride out there, and you know, just take your time, and great sea breeze in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So you can crack the windows open or whatever, and it's a good time. Mary, listen, this episode has been, if you're listening at home, you may have heard a little bit of background noise there, Mary, and I don't know what's going on, but what's happening in your house? Something that's popular that people have been doing.
Something very popular, you're right. I've got some home improvements going on in my house.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Yes.
My
yeah, like
goodness.
So many people who have been stuck home, or, you know, just you're starting to notice those things that have been driving you crazy all along. And rather than paying for camps or preschool, we said, you know what? It is time to fix our bathroom. And what an endeavor that is. So if anyone else is doing home improvements and you want to share those before and afters with us on Wicked Roadie, please do. I have never lived through a major renovation before. I had no idea how disrupting it was.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I said I've never lived through a major renovation before. I had no idea how disrupting it was. I had no idea how loud it was going to be, how messy it was going to be. There have been days where my water and electricity is turned off, and I'm like, this is such a first world problem, but what do you mean I can't blow up and put water in my inflatable pool? What am I going to do with these kids? So it's been an endeavor, but I did want to get stuff done before the school year began, knowing that homeschooling was going to be an option. I didn't want to have all this banging and drilling and sawing happening in the background.
Good call. I did early in the whole pandemic. I completely destroyed our lawn, and we went through a process where we jackhammered one weekend a bunch of rocks. We sod cut. We rebuilt the front gardens. We just did everything, and then we trucked in 64 yards of dirt, or loam, as they call it. Loom.
Yes, fancy dirt.
Yes, fancy dirt loaded with crabgrass seed, evidently. But don't worry, the crabgrass is going away. Planted new seed. So I have been so meticulous about this lawn. But again, it's a home improvement kind of thing. You know, we painted the living room at one point. We've just kind of gone through and done a bunch of different things. But the home improvements, we also, you know, we switched out some pieces of furniture, went over there to Cardi's, and, you know, said, okay, well, let me tell you how it went at Cardi's. I did not go. I just sent Susan and said,
there you go.
You go and shop the way you need to shop, and because I'm not going to be helpful at all, even though I spent 15 plus years there.
Yeah.
Just let me know when you know, just let me know when I have to, you know,
move something.
Exactly. No, they deliver it. It's great. They come in, they bring it right in.
That's awesome.
Put it right there. So it was great. You know, those improvements, though, on the home, because that's where you're spending time. A lot of people are doing that. So, I would love to see some before and after up on the Facebook feed there. I will try to I think I need to find a picture of my lawn beforehand to really do it justice, but
yes.
I'll try to get on that. So
love it. So that's, of course, what's wicked fun in the 401, and here are some wicked tasty suggestions. So, Ben, have you been out to eat?
Yes, we have gone to a few different places and actually dined in Rhode Island staples. We went to Greg's Restaurant.
Delicious.
Which was our first one. And I actually saved the card they gave us into the like when you pulled in, if you were, you know, they check you in while you drive in. They say, okay, park over here, because they're also still doing curbside.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you this little card that says, by entering this establishment, you agree that, and you've not had these symptoms. They actually give you little icons for a cough, a fever, diarrhea.
Oh, yeah, that's what
vomiting.
You want to see before you eat. Nice.
Yeah. Loss of taste and smell, which the loss of taste and smell is a nose with arrows pointing up. I would have thought that would have been like a circle with a line through it over the schnoz, but
Please don't pick.
Yeah, exactly. And then it gives you like, you know, instructions on the back of when you can wear it. But the other one we went to was Uncle Tony's.
Nice.
In East Providence. Delicious. Great service. Great time, and you know, we're hoping to do more, but it's like anything else, it's just as time allows, and you know, mm-hmm. we still got a lot of things going on. How about yourself?
So we've been doing a lot of takeout still. We have not taken the kids to an indoor dining, but we actually went to outdoor dining and with just Blake and I on our first date since March, and we went to the 210 Oyster Bar down in kind of the Galilee area. They have some gorgeous outdoor seating. We're hoping to do a lot more of those, you know, ocean-viewed places. I will say, if you are interested in having more of a romantic outdoor date at one of those really sought-after establishments, you're going to want to go online and book your reservation 2 weeks in advance. I mean, these things are booking up. We've got people coming in for vacationing anyway, and we all want to get outside. I've done a lot of takeout. We've been doing a lot of Uncle Tony's as well. We've got one right down the street.
Sure.
It's one of the staples for my family. I will be honest, in the beginning, Greg's chocolate cake was getting us through the initial portion of distance learning.
It is a survival tool if there ever was one, Mary.
Amen, man. So yeah, so we've been sticking to either just takeout, and we've dipped our toes into outdoor dining, but we hope to do a little bit more while it's still summertime.
Very good, very good.
We haven't been doing this podcast every week, so my fingers are all over the place trying to figure out which buttons to push, man.
Well, just so long as the demolition crew didn't take out your soundboard. That's all good. So what's up?
So we wanted to remind everybody that we here at Wicked Roadie are very proud to partner with United Way of Rhode Island to help you spread the word about wonderful opportunities for you, your family, and how you can volunteer in and around Rhode Island. I wanted to remind you that one of the best ways to feel better in difficult times is to help others. Like the sheer joy that you will get from volunteering and helping other people, nothing else can compare to it.
No, you're absolutely right. And Mary, it's obviously officially summer here in the Ocean State, and it looks different. It looks different than past years. There's no doubt about that, and there's no shortage of things that we can do and ways to enjoy ourselves. And two of those ways that we can do that is through helping out two of Rhode Island's quintessential warm weather activities, that being our beautiful farms and the renowned water fire. Both of them are seeking your support.
So please consider giving of your time, and the farms in particular offer an opportunity the entire family can enjoy together while helping their fellow Rhode Islanders. So you can volunteer at a farm. Each year, the Rhode Island Community Food Bank works with community farms and volunteers to help plant and then harvest the fresh produce that helps feed the hungry. So there are a number of farms right now that are currently seeking help as the crops are maturing. And once again, all ages are welcome. The Charlestown Community Garden in Nintegritt Park, they're looking for somebody. In Cumberland, the Franklin Farm is looking for people on Mondays and Thursdays in the evening, so it won't be wicked hot, 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, we'll have all these farms listed up for you, too, so you can get the addresses and all the specifics and stuff. But over here in the East Bay, they have the East Bay Community Farm, which is over off of Papasquash. In Smithfield, they have God's Little Acre off of Putnam Pike. And in Warren, the McCoy Community Farm, which is off of Birch Swamp Road.
Nice. And of course, we also have, as you mentioned earlier, Waterfire.
Yes.
The Waterfire Arts Center is now open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 12 to 6. And they're seeking volunteer docents to help staff in welcoming visitors in the safest way possible to enjoy the Beacon of Hope Arts installation. There's also the Volunteer Photography Gallery and the Waterfire Store. So you can, of course, find the information on our site.
Awesome. And if you want to learn more about the United Way of Rhode Island, or during this pandemic, if you're in need of assistance, I've heard so many people who just don't know where to go for something specific. The United Way is your one-stop shop. That's where you got to go. Just go to their website or dial 211 and you'll get connected to the help that you need. Mary, I feel like when we have not a lot of events to talk about, that's when we talk the most, because we're talking about real life here. And can I just ask you one last question here?
Please, yes, please do.
Why are you wrapped up in a shawl? It is 92 degrees outside, and you are, like, you're wrapped up in a shawl.
I am so cozy in my blanket.
Okay.
So first off, our podcast studio is in our basement, and no matter what season, this basement is frigid.
Okay.
So, yeah, as many people are out sweating, I'm freezing right now during the recording of Wicked Brody.
Well, if you're listening to this and you are currently going into dehydration, just think about Mary.
There you go.
And she's literally taking on hypothermia, a word you don't often hear in July.
No.
So you can find all our information on our website and perhaps some tips on how to stay warm on WickedRodiePodcast.com.
We're, of course, active on Facebook and Instagram. So if you're posting photos from around Rhode Island, I know many people, because we're soaking up that outdoors. We're getting out on trails, visiting our local beaches, and, you know, just taking walks around our neighborhood. Maybe you're seeing things that you've never seen before. When you snap that photo, use the hashtag WickedRody, and we would love to see how you're making the most out of, what are we in now, phase 3?
Something like that.
How are you making the most of this?
We're here. And that's all that matters. And if you're out there and you want to get the message directly into the ears of our listeners, just email us, wickedrodypodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a message on Facebook.
Until next time, I'm Mary Larson.
And I am Ben DeCastro, who is currently enjoying a core temperature of 98.6, unlike my co-host, who is going into probably hypothermic shock.
It's all good. Oh, after this, I'll go outside and I will really be shocked.
Thaw out.
Yes. Well, you've been listening to Wicked Rudy. We'll have more for you next time. Thanks, everybody.